today on Real Radio.
God's love's not fickle for you. You know, I'm God, I love you on Monday, maybe not so much on Tuesday, but you really burnt me on Wednesday, but Thursday, maybe I'll love you. He's not like that. He's not like that. He loves you unconditionally. His love doesn't change.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called His Son, Our God, Your Savior, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. As always, thank you so much for joining us today. You know, God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sin and return to Him so that He could continue to bless them. Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In part 1 from Isaiah chapter 9, we learned that the New Testament gospel writers quoted from Isaiah more than any other Old Testament prophet. They knew the Messiah spoken of in Isaiah was the same Jesus they knew when He walked with them here on earth. We also discovered that as it was in both Isaiah's time and Jesus' time, Nazareth, where Jesus grew up, was considered to be cursed and unclean. But when Jesus returns, He'll be sitting on the throne of David, and His government will rule and reign forever. Now in part 2, we'll continue to see how Isaiah provides a clear window into how God became flesh for our benefit. So today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that God loves us unconditionally. His love never changes. It's God's desire to lead us toward perfection and completion. Spending time alone with our God is when we will hear His counsel and receive His strength. And now continuing his lesson called His Son, Our God, Your Savior, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Psalm 40, verse 6, listen, Psalm 40, verse 6 says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened, burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, listen to this from the psalmist. Verse 7, behold, I come. In the volume or scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I'm just asking you tonight, note this. This was written in the books 1,000 years before Jesus was born. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 5. Hebrews 10, 5, the author of the book of Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaks this. Therefore, when He came into the world, so you got to ask your question in light of Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. When He came into the world, mark that down. This is significant. Who is this Messiah? Who is Isaiah speaking about? And who is the psalmist speaking of? And the author of the book of Hebrews says, when He came into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and in sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Sound familiar, everybody? Somebody say amen. Are you listening? This is the Bible upon Bible upon Bible. That's where you stake your case. Your salvation, your Jesus is the Bible Jesus. Your existence tonight as a Christian, your hope is the everlasting Word of God. And he goes on. Follow with me in Hebrews 10. Verse 8. Previously saying sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law, says the author here of Hebrews. Verse 9, then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He's talking about whoever the Messiah is repeatedly citing Psalm 40. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. He's talking about the Old Testament will have lived out its time. The law of God will be complete and there'll be a new covenant made. You know all about that. been here for 2,000 years in Christ. But that will, listen, by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So last time together, we looked at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that it was our God who came down to us. Remember that? That's where we left off. For unto us a child is born. This is not just any birth. The whole structure of the announcement changes. The prophecy is announcing that what is happening now is not a child being born. This is the child being born. There's something going on here that is not normal. This is the incarnation of the Messiah to mankind, to this world. For unto us, that is a deposit. It is a bestowing. A child is going to be born. And it's not to just a family. It's not to just a neighborhood. It is to the entire world. You say, Jack, where do you get that from? Because earlier in chapter 9, it says that those who sat in darkness in the regions of the Galilee, those Gentiles, the nations, they sat in darkness, the light has dawned. And it goes on to announce that the light dawning is none other than the coming of the Messiah. And who is he? A child that is going to come. He goes on. He's describing the incarnation. This is where we left off last time. John chapter 1, mark it in your Bibles. Turn there if you would. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word... He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. That makes Jesus the one of Genesis 1:1. Verse 14, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Dear friends, John chapter 1 is absolutely supporting, and it also is supported like a sandwich by Isaiah. A child is coming. That child that's coming is the very Word of God becoming flesh. A 3,000-year-old prophecy for us tonight. Why is this so important? Because this child that is being born brings to us the legacy of hope and of life and of representation before God, that we've got a spokesman to represent our sins before God. That's the whole term of Messiah. Number two in our study, we're looking at number two, his life was given for us. The Bible tells us that God would give his life for us. This is the Old Testament verse that answers to John 3:16. And you know what that says, but we so often get robbed by just being familiar with the word that God so loved the world that he gave. I like to insert here for our study purposes tonight. For God so loved you, and I know that's hard for you to believe. It's hard for me. I have to remind myself. Do you have to do that daily? I've been a Christian 38 years. I have to remind myself so often. Do you think that you, I don't know, maybe it's me. Maybe I have some sort of a psychosis or something. But it's like, God, really me? You love me? I remember years ago when I first got saved, having such a hard time trying to understand that somebody told me, well, then back off, will you? God likes you. And that struck me. He likes me? Okay. But I was misunderstanding the word love. God's love's not fickle for you. I'm God, I love you on Monday, maybe not so much on Tuesday, but you really burnt me on Wednesday, but Thursday, maybe I'll love you. He's not like that. He loves you unconditionally. His love doesn't change. Listen, when you're dating somebody, your love can be all, I don't care. I don't care. You're just dating somebody. There's no harm, no foul, no commitment. Well, let me tell you something. When you walk down this aisle and you say, I do, you did. And here's the deal. I will love Susie or Fred says, I will love you, whatever. And I'm making that decision in front of God. I'm speaking this as a covenant from my mouth. And that's the way it's going to be. And so when your husband or your wife, you know, God forbid, but if, you know, they get, it's your, even before you get pictures taken, she starts throwing up because she didn't, you know, she got sick. The husband is not to go, whoa! Oh, man, look at her. She's like heaving her guts out, man. Not a good move. You made a vow, you scoop it up, and you clean her up, and you love on her, because at that moment, you throw all the feelings out of the window, and it's a commitment I've made. But I don't know how I feel. Forget it! Love is a decision, and God has made a decision. I don't understand it. It will take you and I eternity to enjoy it. God says, I love you. Listen, church, just shut up and enjoy that. Just enjoy that. He loves you, he says. He sent his son. Oh, that's a New Testament doctrine. No, it's not. It's an Old Testament doctrine. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. It was fulfilled in the New. That's how we know our God. He keeps his word. He's awesome. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. By the way, if you're a legalist tonight, we know something about you you haven't discovered yet. You think you're trying to get holy by keeping the law? We already tried all that. Doesn't work. Best thing to do is surrender to the love of God. Okay? Because when you think you're succeeding, your head gets so big you can't even get through the doors here. You're so self-righteous. You're so far from God. Listen, the law can't save you because your flesh is weak. You need a life transformation. That's what God does. And God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus hung on the cross condemning sin. It was judged. Galatians 4, verse 4 starts there by telling us that when the fullness of time had come, at just the right time, thank you, God, that he controls time, that God sent forth his son born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who are under the law that we might receive the adoption as sons. Trust in Christ tonight. The ancient prophecies are true. Isaiah 53, verse 10, written 743 years before Jesus was born. For it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief when you make his soul an offering for sin. Jesus is our atonement. He's the Lamb of God. Argument number three tonight. His son, our God, your Savior, still in verse 6. Look at verse 6. It says, and the government will be upon his shoulder. I know this is going to sound a little redundant because it just so happens our Sunday service kind of overlapped here in Isaiah. But the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, listen, you need to be thinking. Don't answer out loud because I don't want, you know, just don't answer out loud. When you think of the ministry life of Jesus, all of a sudden now, in this verse, and this is a great warning for all of us to read the Bible carefully. In verse 6, you're tracking, looking at this, unto us a son is given, a child is born, a son is given. We got that. A child speaking of his humanity, a son speaking of his divinity. He was to come through a woman, but sent from God. Got that? But the next one here about the government will be upon his shoulder. All of a sudden, in the middle of a verse, this is why we need to read the Bible carefully. Did that happen in Jesus' day in his ministry life? Did that happen when he ministered on earth 2,000 years ago? Is he ruling the governments today? No. That's why you want to read the Bible carefully. By the way, this is the big stumbling block. If you've been to Israel or if you know any Jewish friends, they'll take you to this verse because you'll use it to argue for Jesus and they'll say, no, 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 I'll use the same verse to show you it's not Jesus. Really? How do you do that? He didn't do a thing for us when he came the first time. That's what they'll tell you. When he came 2,000 years ago, Rome was still in power when he was dead. When Jesus came, Rome was in power. And when Jesus died, Rome was still in power. He didn't do anything for us. See, Isaiah says the governments will be on his shoulder. That's a good argument if you leave him in the grave. Jesus had to fulfill Isaiah 53 and other prophetic scriptures to be our atonement. It doesn't mean that he's not coming back to rule and reign. It means he is. He first took care of the sin issue. The Bible spoke of this. He's coming back. So look in that one verse. You've got this announcement here that's incredibly profound. Right in the middle of a verse, you've got the Messiahship being announced, that he's going to come from heaven. And then that's his first coming. And then you've got the government to be upon his shoulders. That's in his second coming. Oh, it's awesome. 1 Peter 5:6 tells us, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care, worry, casting all your worry upon him, for he cares for you. Isn't that awesome? Our God will carry the justice of the earth when he comes back. You can cast everything upon him now. Look, here's the fun part about who we are as Christians. You and I live here right now, but this is not our real mailing address. It's really not, because the Bible says that your citizenship's in heaven, and the Bible says that we talk to our God, our relationship is situated or seated with him in heaven. Our communication is heavenward, okay? And we're not home. We don't feel at home here. We can't wait to go home, because he's put heaven in our hearts. His government now rules in our lives. But there is that day, we talked about it on Sunday, when he's coming back to actually do that very thing. And this is one of those awesome, incredible, fantastic portions of scripture that declares the divinity of Christ. And it's okay tonight if you don't believe this. It's okay. I mean, you're not okay. You're in great peril with eternity, but I understand if you don't believe. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Why don't you take a deep breath and go see? Why don't you take a peek at who the Bible says Jesus is? Just give it a shot. Who's the prophet speaking of? Well, verse 6 continues with our fourth argument here. His desire is to lead us into, mark the word, perfection. Let me explain that. Don't get nervous. Perfection. What does that mean? His desire is to lead us into perfection, meaning completion. That's what it means. His desire, now watch this. His desire, that's why the Holy Spirit lives inside the believer, to mature us in Christ, okay? So how does this happen? Well, number one, look at this. Here's a title, name. Scholars argue, look, there's the camp's divided into two places. And to be honest with you, I don't care which camp you pick, it's both awesome. Both of them are awesome. Some scholars say his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. That's one thing. Then there's great scholars on the other side of the fence that say, no, both the words are nouns in the original, and it's wonderful and counselor, separate. And they argue back and forth. And you read both arguments and you throw your hands up and say, who cares? Because they're both awesome. They're both wonderful. Well, here it is. And his name will be called Wonderful. So whoever he is, we know that it's Jesus. But the word wonderful here means secret, hidden, or secluded. It doesn't mean secret like you can't have it. It means secluded, that you got to find it. Okay? Number two, counselor, the guide, the director, the instructor. What does this mean? His name will be called Wonderful, secluded, secret, but able to be found, and he will be your guide, your counselor, your instructor. I love this. I love this. I love this for this reason. Because I believe personally, and I tried to share this a couple weeks ago, and it didn't go over well. I got passionate and emotional on the Sunday service, and you couldn't handle that. I got notes and letters. So listen. But here's the deal about this. This is, to me, wonderful. When you get alone with God, he tells you things that he ain't gonna tell you unless you get alone with God. You say, well, wait a minute, I'm here at church, aren't I? that's great for you. And this is what we're all supposed to do anyway. This is called a convocation. Did you know that? This is a normal biblical gathering called a convocation. It's when God's people gather in mass, in a big group. Every week since the last 2,000 years, this is what happens. Okay? This is different. This is God saying to his people, you go get alone with me in a secluded place and I will counsel you. You like that? I like that. It's a place where others don't go. It's not here. Well, I went to church. That's not what we're talking about. It's not here. You will be counseled by him personally when you get secluded with him. Meaning, you need to nurture more and more real, true alone time with God. You need to do as John was telling us earlier a moment ago, to press on further into Christ. To get alone. This is what I tried to say a couple weeks ago, and it didn't go over well. When I said, put down the books, turn off the TV, even put down your Bible, get alone with God. Some knucklehead said, hey, to his wife, I don't have to read the Bible anymore. Pastor Jack said so. You'd be amazed what people hear. But you know, that's what he wanted to hear, apparently. You know, that's what his, anyway. You can read the Bible 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But unless you zip your lip and close your eyes and listen for a while, you're not going to hear anything. And it's time to start hearing from him.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called His Son, Our God, Your Savior, Part 2. I'm David Jay. Thanks for joining us today. And our continuing hope is that you will give your life to Jesus Christ, not sometime soon, but right away. And you'll spend eternity with him. His Son, Our God, Your Savior, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. We're excited to let you know that Pastor Jack has recommended a book of the month for May. It's called Haley's Bible Handbook. Haley's Bible Handbook makes the wisdom and the message of the Bible accessible to everyone. Whether you read the Bible many times or maybe you've never checked it out before, you'll find insights into the religious culture, along with maps and settings in which each story of the Bible unfolds. Haley's Bible Handbook is written for both mind and heart, and it's completely revised and updated. There are also easy-to-understand sections on how we got the Bible and the history of the church. So head on over to our website and purchase your copy of Haley's Bible Handbook for yourself, or maybe even for someone you know who needs a little extra help in studying the Bible. Again, you'll find Haley's Bible Handbook. That's at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, Pastor Jack's Real Radio program has been on the air for quite a while now, but did you know that you can access previous programs if you'd like? There are literally hundreds of past episodes to choose from that you can listen to when it's convenient for you. If you'll remember, we went through the Book of Acts here on the radio program. How about the Who Told You series or the messages on the power of giving from the Book of Philippians? Those are all great series, and you can get them at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Don't forget to download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet and take advantage of all those past messages. Hey, by the way, if you have a question about something you heard on the program, we'd love to talk to you about it. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the Contact tab. We would love to connect you with someone who can help you out. That's the Connect tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.